State Federal Affairs School Committee meeting.
Committee on State Federal Affairs have come to order.
Well, all of these, do you want to make the motion pass?
Let's start with.
Bill, did I get a sign too this morning?
Well, McPherson's not here, but let's take something up. Senate Bill 537 was referred back to committee. That's the bill which we amended to put the, put that death clause on it after 2 years. Okay, well, let's.
Oh, you want to take this? All right, we'll take that.
Chair would move that we delete the amendments that we added to Senate, in gross Senate Bill 537, and pass it to the floor with a new pass recommendation as it was received by us, which in effect strengthens the Education Coordinating Council, but does not in any way amend the bill, and it does not put a cutoff date in 2 years.
I think there were two sets of amendments, Mr. Chairman. Are you talking about a rule?
I'll be right back.
Well, right. Now, all I have here is an amended bill, so I'm not sure.
What's the number, Mr. Chairman?
537. Well, Section 9 added is the one that has the cutoff date. Well, these are the ones that Gordon came in with. These are the ones we want to delete, and I don't see any other amendments on.
Well, we had one to take the end out on page.
I just seem to remember another set.
Line 3.
There's another amendment.
And one to take up on page 3, line 4, delete, approve. But I don't have.
I move we delete all the amendments.
All right. What was the other one you mentioned?
That amendment was proposed by the chancellor, who felt
for the same purpose as the other one. Representative Coyne moves that all amendments to Senate Bill 537 be deleted.
Then what?
And, well, after that motion.
That one wasn't adopted.
No, that was not enough.
Let me start over again.
Clerk will call a roll on.
Any objection?
Is there an objection to the deletion of these amendments? Being none, so ordered by unanimous consent. Representative Alcoin, do you want to make a motion?
On page 3, line 4, we change approve to review.
Representative Alcoin moves it on line. Page 3, line 4, we change the word approve to review. Yeah, he's asking, we're going to have to suspend the rules to do that. Do you want to ask for suspension of the rules?
Yes.
Representative Coyne moves the rules be suspended in order to amend the bill on page 3, line 4, by adding the word review. We can take it in one motion.
Did you ask to suspend the rules when you were?
Unanimous consent, everybody voted for it. Yeah, I'm trying. I think we all ought to be cognizant of one thing. One of the reasons that Gordon moved you back here is that if this bill goes back amended in the Senate, it's probably not going anywhere.
I thought he wanted to change 73 to 75. Take it out.
Alright.
The Attorney General looking over my shoulder unless I know why.
We have a bottle bill in here, I guess, and he's curious about it.
You just bill it if you get to hold it.
Bill it.
I've got another turkey.
Alright, we're voting on suspension of the rules. Clerk call the roll.
Alcoin.
Aye.
Cole.
Aye.
Danforn.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye.
Engel.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson. Patterson.
No.
Stafford.
Aye.
Stoltz.
Aye.
Martin.
No. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Well, let's get one thing straight, let's not beat around the bush about this, or if we're gonna lose it on the Senate side by amending it, what are we?
Who said that?
We all want the bill, I take it, don't we?
Well, I think one, the Senate, you were talking about an hour ago, the Senate may well never organize again, so there's one way of passing the bill, and it's passing it unamended. If we send it back to Senate, we may be sending it back to a vacant room.
I would hope the committee would not face any more decisions on whether or not the Senate's gonna, what the Senate's gonna do with the bill. I think we gotta do what's right. I'm worried, I'm concerned about the Senate.
I would really feel very, very concerned with Chancellor if he hadn't had this bill in his hand for 9 months and dreamt this amendment up after it passed the Senate and got over here.
I think that's a legitimate argument, it doesn't relate to the Senate. Chairman, if I could be permitted, that would be, suppose this bill made a motion, I could perhaps resolve that problem.
All right, there are 8 votes in favor, Gordon, there was a motion, and there was a motion made to suspend the rules in order to amend 537. We've deleted all previously, to amend it on page 3, change that word approve, approve to review. Now, your vote is key vote on whether we suspend the rules to do that or not. No. All right. Motion fails for lack of a 2/3 majority. Representative Kennedy moves Senate Bill, engross Senate Bill 537 to the floor with a new pass recommendation. Clerk, call the roll.
Bannon. Alcorn.
Aye.
Cole.
Aye.
Dinsmore.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye.
Engel.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Stafford.
Aye.
Stoltz.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye. So ordered.
What is the procedure for taking a bill away from the proper motion? I can make take a bill or a resolution away from the subcommittee.
Move to withdraw.
Yes, well, I would move to withdraw HJR 44 from the committee.
Before we, who's going to carry? Have Representative Lang carry 537.
Lang or Pitt.
Minor pins.
Check.
Yang.
Go ahead.
I would move that the House Joint Resolution 44 be withdrawn from the Subcommittee on State and Federal Affairs.
Is that the housekeeping
question? Oh, you can't. Representative Kennedy moves that House Joint Resolution 44 be taken from the Committee on State, Subcommittee on State and Federal Affairs.
What does the bill do again, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman.
Unicameral legislature.
In 1975.
House Joint Resolution.
I think they'll resolve that argument.
We've got one right now.
House Joint Resolution.
Can we amend it?
May I speak on my motion, please?
Go ahead.
House Joint Resolution 44. Would amend the Oregon Constitution upon voter approval to establish a unicameral legislature beginning in 1975. And to establish annual legislative sessions, establish 4-year term of office for all members, and repeal single county subdistrict provisions.
Words that say that.
Nobody just made it up.
We're on the bill.
You want me to make my speech down?
And I would, I think it's time that this legislature give the people of the state of Oregon the opportunity to vote on this issue and bite the bullet on this issue.
And delete
and I'm convinced the concept has merit, it's worked well in Nebraska, and I'm sure if the election were held today, it would pass.
It worked well in Nebraska, that's where they passed the shoot your neighbor through one house. All right. You've heard the motion. Clerk, call the roll.
Alcorn.
Aye.
Cole.
Aye.
Dinsmore.
Aye.
Howard.
No. Nope.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson.
No.
Patterson.
No.
Stathis.
Aye.
Dole.
No.
Martin.
No.
Motion fails by two-thirds majority.
What was the count, Mr. Chairman?
Seven to five.
Give it another year.
Eleven.
Next session, we'll be back.
House Bill 1162. Age of majority, Representative McPherson. Age of majority.
It's a little like age of birds.
Oh, yeah.
What happened in 537?
1162, lowers the age of majority to 18, contingent upon the adoption of the SJR. Age of majority period.
What's the number of the bill again?
1162.
I don't have the bill.
Well, it's probably in a tabled section.
First bill in the House bill.
I can't vote for it without it.
It's your bill.
That's your point. Big pardon?
It's your bill.
My bill?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You can't vote for it with my bill.
That's your bill.
Check your table second.
1162.
Bring your table.
Mr. Chairman.
Right.
Does this include all? What's included, Gordon?
What's it include?
Hey, let's have a little order in the committee.
Did the subcommittee adopt, the amendments to this bill?
Yes. The bill now reads on the page 2, line 11, Senate Joint Resolution 7 instead of House Joint Resolution 9.
That is what I was referring to. But
well, it's the only amendments that were prepared for us.
We got a whole lot of them.
We went through, by a vote of this committee, amendments.
Governmental Reorganization Subcommittee, Mr. Chairman, prepared amendments and adopted amendments to 1162.
Well, then they're still on the bill.
About 10 pages of amendments that were turned over to the state and federal.
They're still on the bill.
25.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the motion was this morning was to pass out 1162 as amended.
Actually, 28 pages.
Take the
record
and show that.
You guys amended.
Without
recommendation.
As amended, and we have no such comprehensive.
Well, the bill had already been amended in that.
Well, it should be amended. Here, anyway, I'm trying to resolution.
Let me check off.
Well, that's been amended. Mr. Chairman, when the bill originally came to government reorganization, it listed two or three things that they wanted to change the age for, and I went to Legislative Council and had them run down the whole list of things that minors were prescribed from doing.
Hey, now, the committee will come to order, and I want silence in the room, please, from everyone, including the Attorney General, so we can conduct the rest of the business of this committee. We have about 15 measures, and we have to get through them today. Now, Representative Ingalls.
And I'm not sure I'd have to ask one of the attorneys if this does the whole job. Does this say that all the minority rights, like jury duty contracts, abortion, marriage, etc., etc., etc.?
I would say no.
You would say no? Do we have to? Why?
Pardon?
Why? I mean, I'm not questioning you. I just wonder why.
Well, this is just off the top impression, but all this is a person deemed to arrive at the age of majority in 18 years. And all these other, but there are separate statutes.
Yes, there are.
As you know, all over the place. Specifically refer to certain ages. You're saying age of majority shall be 18, doesn't apply to those statutes unless you specifically amend them.
Well, what good is this?
These amendments might purport to do, but you weren't asking me about those.
All right, let's go back something else. Gordon?
Yes.
These amendments dated March 15th were adopted by the Subcommittee on Governmental Reorganization. The bill was brought to the whole committee and was re-referred to state, or was referred to the Subcommittee on State and Federal Affairs. And it would be my opinion that these amendments went with the bill.
That's right, they were adopted.
Because they had already been adopted.
Well, the motion this morning, though, Mr. Chairman, trying to clarify things, was just...
As amended.
No, Gordon made the motion that we amend 1162 to provide for SJR 7, and then the motion was to pass it out.
As amended.
As amended, now then the interpretation that someone's going to have to make is whether or not these comprehensive amendments were incorporated in those amendments. And I contend that they weren't, because we weren't about to discuss that.
Well, the state and federal, I mean, the government reorganization committee did adopt the amendments.
That's in our record.
All right, then there's one question. Do the amendments, and I don't have a copy of them, include marriage at 18?
Well, it says except 109.920. Is that the marriage statute?
Well, it's the purpose of the committee that they want to defeat HCR 47, this is a good way to do it. When it goes to the vote of the people.
What's 109.547?
Put all these things on it, and I'll vote it down.
109.5, yes.
I'll vote it down anyway.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if it would be in order to defer action on this until Pearson can look at the amendments that were made by the Government Reorganization Committee to make sure that they perhaps do what needs to be done. Well, we're not.
The only thing I don't know is the marriage contract in there. I don't know whether Kathy.
We're not dissatisfied, Chairman. We're not. I wouldn't say that we're dissatisfied with the amendments, but I'm not sure if any member of the Government Reorganization Committee was talking to Patterson. Know exactly what we're intending.
Why doesn't Mr. Patterson just take time to explain?
You'll recall when we brought the bill to the committee, to the full committee, a month or so ago, we explained it, and we asked legislative counsel to draft a bill to include all rights and privileges of the 21-year-olds. Extend this to the 18-year-olds. That bill, the amendment you see before you, was brought back to us by legislative council, said it covered everything with the exception of some appointments to commissions that required by statute 21-year-old to be appointed.
Right.
So that covers drinking, marriage, contracts, jury duty, everything.
Page 5 carries a marriage provision.
Abortion.
And abortion.
Representative Densmore.
Ed, why were the statutory commissions left the same?
Most of the statutory commissions were professional commissions. They required persons of a profession, and it was assumed that they'd be 21-year-olds by the time that they arrived at that professional status. And that's the only reason it would take a great deal of research to go through all the statutes to pick out the age limitation with all those commissions. So it's felt satisfactory by the Government Reorganization Committee to do that. But strictly, some of them may be 35, I don't know. But we just didn't pick out all of the age brackets.
Here's the rule that the overall amendment dated March 15th also apply to the bill, and the amendment made in the State Fair Affairs Subcommittee changes the HGR to HGR 7. Is there a motion on the bill?
I move the floor to pass.
Representative Patterson moves House Bill 1162 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion?
I'm going to vote against it, and I want to point out that to make the record clear, that this bill is not my bill. I was one of the co-sponsors of the original one-page bill, if anyone can count, you'll see that there are 28 pages of amendments, and it was far beyond what I intended when I co-sponsored the bill.
No, you're not, I feel about 287.
I know precisely.
Chairman?
Yes.
I would move the rule be suspended for the purpose of amending, the bill, provided the bill would go into effect on passage, well, it's already got passages. The Senate joint resolution, but would also go into effect on the ratification of the 26th Amendment of the United States Constitution.
President Kennedy moved rules be suspended in order to attach another amendment to the bill, which would be effective upon ratification of the 26th?
Well, you wanted the HJR 47, don't you?
No, I don't want an HJR 47. I want
ratification.
Ratification by enough states to where that goes into effect. It's not ratification of HJR 47.
I think you're suggesting this be removed?
No, I think you could add.
Well, no, I don't, because if this should be in also, if because there's two possibilities. It's probable that ratification will occur before the vote takes place on this, and it's also possible that ratification won't take effect and this can pass, which would lower the voting age in Oregon, but not in the rest of the United States. So I think it ought to be, I think this is a good amendment and would permit me to support the bill.
I would suggest you don't tie it to the approval of the 26th Amendment, however, because there may be another one intervening.
Okay. On ratification.
We'll have appropriate language drafted.
I would suggest the clerk. But the board of voting age is lowered to 18 would be before the 26th.
There may be another one which will pass more readily than this one. This may hang around a lot.
I agree with you.
How about upon lowered voting age to 18 for all elections?
I have confidence in the chairman.
We can find a appropriate language should this
be all the votes today.
All right. You heard the motion. It's a suspension of the rules. Takes 9 votes to suspend the rules for that amendment. Is there further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Cole.
Aye.
Densmore.
Aye.
Howard.
No.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson.
No.
Patterson.
No.
Stafford.
Aye.
Dole.
No.
Martin.
No. Motion fails. No question. 6-6.
Would you have a question?
No. No, I will.
I'll ask.
Well, you said a yield.
What's the question?
Kennedy's all right. Will you
yield? You'll yield. We'll try to answer your question.
I don't care who answers it. I'm just trying to figure out what the original intent then of the sponsors was with regard to 1162 to lower the age of majority. If the proposed amendments which came from your subcommittee are not the intent of the sponsors.
You would, Mr. McPherson, you would have to answer that question of the chief sponsor, or chief sponsor's Representative Roberts or Senator Halleck.
I don't make any distinction between sponsors. If you're on the bill, it's your bill. Now, I wonder if the amendments that are proposed were not the intent of Representative Hoffman, what was his intent? Maybe we can get there, you see. If I know what your intent was under the original bill.
I don't think that question is.
All right. We're voting now on passage of amended House Bill 1162 to the floor of the new pass recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, I would, and this there is precedent for this, I would ask for unanimous consent to have my name removed from the bill. This was done in Mr. McPherson's Judiciary Committee on a mass transit bill, I believe, in a similar case. And this doesn't reflect my thinking, and I don't think it's fair to me to have my name on the bill. So I'd ask unanimous consent to have it removed.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. Can't Representative McPherson do that? Representative McPherson, I think in the committee you'll have to ask unanimous consent on the floor. The way it was done in the Judiciary Committee was to send the bill back in the
have the bill re-engrossed. As well as we added some names, we didn't delete any names.
I don't see the distinction.
Well, we've already asked one time in the committee if we could have Representative Mann's name deleted from a previous bill, and the front desk said the only way it can be done is by unanimous request on the floor.
Representative Anderson did.
How was the change in vote?
How then, Mr. Chairman, were the names added to the TriMet bill in the judiciary? That wasn't done on the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I researched that problem considerably on one of the...
Yes, I imagine you had some familiarity with it.
And names can be added in the committee by a majority vote of the committee, but it does take a majority vote of the floor to take the delete of the bill. And that's according to, I believe, Mason's rules, spelled it out. And I checked them when.
All right.
They jacked up a couple of my bills and put bills under them that don't even resemble the other. They do it all the time, and you're going to start taking your name off.
Clerk, call the roll on passage of amended House Bill 1162.
Anderson.
Aye.
Alcorn.
No.
Cole.
No.
Dinsmore.
Aye.
Howard.
No.
Engel.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
McPherson.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Stafford.
Aye. All right, how do you vote, Mr. Davis?
What do we vote?
1162.
Is this without recommendation?
With
aye.
Recommendation.
With recommendation?
With recommendation.
So ordered, Representative Patterson, current vote.
Did you say
Senate Bill 2, all right, let's start from the top. Senate Bill 37, Representative Stultz. Senate Bill 37. Senate Bill 37.
Senate Bill 37 was introduced to extend a condition of forgiven payments for a person who had been in the mentally defective institution for more than 10 years. The law provides that a person, and it was originally for Fairview Home, a person is kept there more than 10 years and the responsibility of relatives to pay for the care is terminated. The policy now has been at Fairview to take a number of these people who have been there more than the 10 years, and there's no relative responsibility anymore under the existing law, removing them from there and putting them in foster homes under welfare care. And initially, as 37 was introduced and passed in the Senate, it had extended to the Relative Responsibility Act the provision which makes it unnecessary for the relatives to pay for care. An amendment which was put in the Financial Affairs Committee speaks to those people who have been in or are in the state hospital, and it makes an exception in respect to the cost of care there after they've been continuously there for 10 years as far as parents are concerned, or for any period of time for the responsibility of parents for an emancipated adult child. This was introduced primarily for the reason that in a number of cases now it appears that adult children with naturally aging parents are being committed for the first time, and either they have no husbands in the case of girls, or husbands who have deserted them. The state is coming back to the parents for the support of those emancipated children, and the amendment would make an exception in that respect only as to the cost of care to be provided by the parents, an emancipated adult child, whose first commitment was after emancipation, or after they reached the age of majority, and this says 21 years, incidentally, may have to change that to 18. But the fiscal implication of the amendment that's added here is rather minimal, I'm told, by legislative fiscal, and it seems like a proper amendment for this bill. I recommend that Senate Bill 37 as amended.
Representative Stoltz moved amended Senate Bill 37 to the floor with the pass recommendation.
No, the second set of amendments, which were handed to you here today, not the ones in the bill, replaced the ones that were.
In other words, delete the ones that are dated.
May 31.
Yeah.
Right.
Delete them?
Delete May 31, and you have some before you.
I don't have a date on them.
Dated June 1. No, that's wrong. No,
not dated.
Well, can you identify these amendments for me?
They're paired to legislative fiscal.
Those are the ones?
Now, the original ones were prepared by legislative council. Those are legislative fiscal, and they follow these with the exception of some underlying language.
Let me ask you something. I don't know if we want to do it or try it here.
Okay.
Representative McCoy and I were just advised last week of a situation that was ridiculous, and it has to do with public welfare, liability for public welfare. Now, is this speaking to public assistance for welfare and other items also? It's liability.
It speaks to the Relative Responsibility Act under public welfare.
Let me ask
welfare.
You this. Is there any way we can amend this? Perhaps we shouldn't try. The situation is an individual, which would be a fireman in Beaverton, who was put in, he and his brother at age, under age 10, he was 10 and his brother was 6, put in St. Mary's Boys Home by their mother. And later spent a long period of time in the mental hospital. Got out, wanted absolutely nothing to do with him. And she went to welfare in 1969, some 20 plus years, almost 30 years after she put in the boys' home. They've never seen her since. And they're now being assessed welfare by welfare commission.
She's still. So she couldn't have deserted them? There is.
Well, there's a court case recently that says that if she was mentally deranged, then that's not desertion.
There's lots of cases like you speak about.
It's just absolutely ridiculous. Now, is it too late to try to amend this bill to do that? Yeah. I'd be happy in this case to take it into my subcommittee if there's a chance we can do it.
I move that the bill be sent to the Subcommittee on State and Federal Affairs.
Question.
I have some concern about whether or not we're going to be able to get it through if we tack more amendments on it. But
Chairman, I have
concern
whether the session's ever
going to be completed. All right, Representative Kennedy moves that Senate Bill 37 be sent to the State and Federal Affairs Subcommittee.
You get it back?
Does this go down to third year?
Yeah.
This section? After 10 years?
Is that right?
All right, we're voting now to refer it to State and Federal Affairs.
Offline.
Aye.
Cole.
No.
Dansmore.
Aye.
Howard.
No.
Engel.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Darren.
Aye.
Stoltz.
No.
Martin.
Aye.
Good luck.
Did you get who does the welfare amendments? Kathleen.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, having voted on banning side House Bill 1162, I give possible notice of reconsideration.
Possible notice? You mean notice of possible?
A notice of possible.
Senate Bill 126, Representative
Mental Institution.
Patterson.
Got a
much all turn to Senate Bill 126. We'll go through this thing, and we'll put the amendments in the bills ourselves, and we'll know just where we stand on it, which has been a problem in the past. First Amendment's in, on page 3, line 13, or excuse me, line 12. Delete the word A after after. On line 13, delete the word meeting.
126,
is that?
Yep. That's the Trails Bill.
After public.
After public, delete the word meeting.
Okay.
And after public, add the words meetings in the areas of the state where trails are planned and. Meetings in the areas of the state where trails are planned and. That paragraph would then read, the commission may establish trails after public meetings in the areas of the state where trails are planned and only in accordance with the following criteria.
How many public meetings?
Let's go, let's make the amendment so we all know what bill we're talking about.
All right.
On page 4, line 25, delete the words power transmission. And on line 26, the word lines. And line 26, the word other. After the word utilities, delete the semicolon, add a comma, and add the words excluding power transmission lines, semicolon.
Who sold that bill of goods?
Line 25 would then read, in or near existing rights of way for roads, comma, highways or utilities, comma, excluding power transmission lines, semicolon.
You left off.
Or, yeah, excuse me, or public utilities. And on page 5, line 8, delete the words, if the commission considers it advisable or necessary, comma. The sentence would then begin, capitalize the. On line 9, delete the words, with respect to. And add the words, in the area of the state where. On line 10, after the word way, add is to be made.
What's that? Where's the location of that last one?
Line 10, page 5, line 10, after the word way, is to be made. So that sentence would then read, the commission shall hold a public hearing in the area of the state where the selection of such right-of-way is to be made, period. On the same page 5, line 13, after the word governments and after the comma, put the words after public hearing, comma. Line 14, after the word council, delete the words and with such. On the next line, public, delete the words public hearing. Line 13 would then read, and with such advice and assistance of the local governments after public hearing.
Hearings or hearing?
After public hearing, singular. Private organizations, landowners, land users, and the advisory council as the commission considers necessary or advisable. Then on line 23, after the word state, we had a whole new sentence before the next sentence. I think it's in one of your amendments. However, not less than two of such members shall be from separate counties bordering upon the ocean shore as defined in ORS 390.605, parentheses 2, having a population of less than 150,000. The next amendment is on page 9, line 4. Page 9, line 4, after the word commission, delete the word shall and replace it with the word may. I think you're all familiar with the intent of the bill. I submit that, Mr. Chairman, request that this committee pass it out and do pass recommendation.
I'll move the amendment to adopt.
I think they were one.
Yeah, we should be adopted committee.
They were, but we had a number.
Mr. Ingalls asks unanimous consent to adopt the amendments as specified by Representative Patterson. Haven't they already been adopted?
They were adopted in Friday. I just wanted to make sure that y'all know it.
We had so many copies of different amendments that we thought we should clarify what the bill looked like after it came out.
Mr. Howard.
Who testified on deleting private utility line?
Representative from Pacific Power and Light.
Between here and Portland, between here and Eugene, if there was going to build a bicycle trail or a trail for walking, there wouldn't be any more ideal spot for them than the power lines that run along. They already got a right of way, they're right alongside the road. Eastern Oregon, where you go across the, they're out there all the time around those things. And sure, we have kids fall off them, but they're falling off of them now. What difference is it going to make?
I think the sentiment was, of course, the liability to the company, and they're afraid that.
Well, make them put a limit of liability in there.
We take a look at what's going to happen if this bill should pass in the next 10 or 20 years and we begin to cover the state with trails like this, of course they're going to be used more and more all the time.
And where the natural gas company has built a good trail across, is a public utility?
No, that could be used. I suggested that public utility right-of-ways be used, with the exception of power transmission lines.
These are dangerous to kids, and they shoot off the insulators, and it's really not advisable.
Well, they do. They do it now, and they use them now. If you're going to have a place to go out in the country and walk, they're already cleared. Down Eugene, I've got the kids climb up over that because it's already there's a trail built up there.
You probably still will. It will, Norm. It just won't be as part of the scenic trail system.
Well, I would
they
think
they can't make power transmission.
I would think it would be part of the system, just like if you want to use the deserted railroad. It has a power line right alongside of it. And it's an ideal place to do it. And I can see why they don't want it. And why we buy it, I mean, is what I don't understand.
Question.
It's no more dangerous than they are right now. They're there.
Well, you're delivered.
Mr. Patterson moves Senate Bill 126 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? There being none, clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Gold.
No.
Dinsmore.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Bassett.
Aye.
Dole.
Aye.
Martin.
No order. Senate Bill 131, Mr.
Dinsmore. Senate Bill 131 is
grabbing the
right. No charge for grabs. No charge for grabs.
Come on.
Which way do you want me to?
We've been working all night to get the face of the law, preferably.
My best idea is to get the... Now, Senate Bill 131 is a complete revision of the teacher tenure law. Besides changing the name of the act from the teacher tenure law to the fair dismissal law, it changes the procedure quite substantively. It changes from a process which can take as long as 5 years and be extremely expensive to a board to a process which at the longest could mean only 55 days and has no recourse to the courts once the final decision has been made. Now, would somebody want to make a... Gordon, would you move it to no recommendation, or would just make the motion to us?
I move Senate Bill
131. Senate Bill 131. As amended, this bill does not extend tenure any lower than the districts which have it now. The bill, as it came over, extended it to all districts effective in 1973. Now, the tenure law has created a good deal of controversy with local citizens and school boards, and I think it's time for a rewrite. And I think this is a good bill. I have some personal difficulties with the extension, but it's a much better law than it is now.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the rules be suspended.
Fairly.
Purpose of amending the bill by inserting a new section in the bill which would read ORS 342.805 to 342.955 shall become effective in all school districts in which the average daily membership, as defined in ORS 327.006, exceeds 800 students in the district beginning July 1, 1973. The purpose of the amendment would to extend this fair dismissal law to school districts that has an average daily membership of 800 students or more. The present law is 4,500 students or more.
Mr. Kennedy moves that the rule be suspended in order to amend the Senate Bill 131 in the full committee. Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. President, 4,500. You want to go down to 800?
Which is what the original bill provided.
No, the original bill provided it went into all districts, regardless of ADM, which I recognize the cause of real problems in relationship to the small districts where you have maybe one or two teachers and destroy a school district in a situation if you get a real personal problem that developed. However, I think any school district that has 800 or more, this problem doesn't exist, particularly with the new procedure. I think it's a good compromise between the original bill and what the subcommittee did.
I've always supported going through to the model, but I will support the 800.
If you're just going to support it, Norm, let's vote on it. If you don't have any questions.
Technical question. I think the amendments read Section 3 was deleted by amendment. I'm not sure what the motion was.
Add a new section.
Do we have amendments on this?
The motion is just to amend, to suspend the rules in order to request the amendments.
I don't have the amendments.
I presume nobody did. Kennedy wouldn't read them.
Not this last one.
No, the amendments that were adopted in the subcommittee I do not have.
We adopted
them.
We have a handed growth bill around here somewhere.
Have to see one.
We adopted some amendments that clarify the evaluation procedure in Section 5, which were presented by Representative Rieke. We also adopted some amendments which indicated that if the final appeals board is invoked, it will be the responsibility of the local district board to assume the financial burden. To my knowledge, those are the only amendments adopted. And those amendments that I see on June 1st do all that.
Pardon? I am no reason to wait.
Clerk will call the roll.
Aye. Are we going to discuss it?
Discuss what?
Richard's amendment.
Or any?
We have?
I ask for discussion. $4,500 down to $800 effective July 1, 73.
I'd like somebody to explain to me why it shouldn't go all the way down.
First of all, bill's not going to pass. That's pliable practicality. I'm sure a lot of people might dispute. We can argue about that, but I don't think the bill's going to pass if we extend it all the way down. For one thing, there are a number of school districts in the state that don't have superintendents, and so you make it smaller. List of yours. That's not why it shouldn't go all the way down.
Let's vote on that question.
Okay, question.
Vote suspension.
Clerk call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Nope. Okay.
Yeah.
Aye.
Cole. Dinsmore.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye.
Engel.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Yes.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson.
To do what?
Suspend the rules.
You're right here.
Patterson.
Patterson.
No, I'd like to be with you.
Stassen.
No.
See, Ed, he took out.
Stoll.
No.
Today.
Martin.
We will be.
Yeah, that's it.
Filing minority report on this amendment, and we have it all ready to go, so no problem. I'll get the clerk.
All right, now, motion is
made.
Has anybody made a motion sent to the floor? Who made that main motion?
No, I didn't.
Who testified in opposition to the?
Well, the only opposition came from little districts that said that, please don't extend it. It looks like a good bill, but we don't know how it's going to work, and we've never had to have any fair dismissal, so.
Did you get any letters on?
Did they have any unfair dismissal?
I don't know. They didn't testify. Their dismissals were fair and unfair.
Crazy part about it is that small districts are one that need the fair dismissal, need the law, and the big districts don't need it.
All right. The motion is passage of 131 as amended. The new pass recommendation, clerk call the roll.
Anderson.
All right.
Trying to figure out the section that limits the application of the fair dismissal law to districts.
Well, it's section three, I believe.
Now what?
All right.
Does this take it all?
No, that Hanning Grove bill does not show all.
It doesn't have all that amendment.
Doesn't have that amendment in it.
I stand. We did adopt that.
We did adopt that. This was made up just to reflect these, are they reading amendments? Clerk call the roll.
Anderson. Offline.
No.
Cole.
No.
Dinsmore.
No.
Howard.
Is this all now?
Sending it to the floor.
$4,500?
Yeah.
Aye, very nothing.
Engel.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
McPherson.
Aye.
Patterson.
No.
Stassen.
Aye.
Stoll.
chair asks unanimous consent to have the bill engrossed, which is going to take more time getting it to the floor. It's got so many amendments that I think, and if we can engross it in order, we'll send you one. Is there objection to having the bill engrossed? Not sorted by unanimous consent.
The appeals board is
Senate Bill 259.
Chairman, I move Senate Bill 259 be sent back to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs. Or whatever, government reorganization.
Senator Engels moves Senate Bill 259 be returned to the Committee on Government Reorganization.
Mr. Chairman, we only heard, had one witness testify on this bill, and since he testified, other information has come to our attention that maybe it isn't as hot as we thought it was. We don't want to get embarrassed on the floor today the way Mr. Howard was. We think we better know a little bit more about it.
Is there an objection to returning to committee? That is so ordered. Man rules again.
No.
Senate Bill 432.
Somebody else.
He testified for it.
Senate Bill 432, Representative Annis.
You're a good bill.
I got Senate Bill 432. Put one specific type of equipment that the railroads use in checking their equipment under your workman's compensation safety rule. It's a thing called a yard bird that sits very low. It's almost like a golf cart. You ride alongside the train and look in the undercarriage and whatever else is on the trains to see that it's in good condition. There are no rules that apply. There's no head covering on it. Gas tank is right behind the operator's head. A couple of people have been killed on them. This evidently was worked out between the railroads and the union. They all agree there should be some safety rules. They checked with the PUC commissioner as to his authority and his recommendation. He recommended that it be put under the workman's compensation safety department. I would move that bill to the board with a new pass.
Representative Anderson moves Senate Bill 432 to the floor with a new pass recommendation. Clerk, call the roll.
Bennington. Offline.
Aye.
Cole.
Aye.
Dennis
Marshall.
Aye. Howard.
Aye.
Engels.
No.
432.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Pearson. Patterson.
Aye.
Stafford.
No.
Dole.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye. So ordered.
May I explain my vote, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
It's PJ3.
PJ3.
Unnecessary legislation.
Representative Anderson will carry the unnecessary legislation. Senate Bill 656. Wait a second, let me back off. I'm trying to go through these in order, so I have to keep changing the pages back. Let's go back to Senate Bill 485, Representative Howard.
I think most of the questions have been answered by Mr. Hay, who was here. By talking to individual members, this is the architect's bill at work. Regarding the naming of the businesses, and I think that, as I say, Mr. Hay has talked to each one individually and It's a good bill, it should pass.
Mr. Chairman, I have objected to the bill, and I'm convinced after conversation with Mr. Hay and other people that there is a remedy for an architect that wants his name off the...
Representative Howard moves that Senate Bill 485, the gross, be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
I ask unanimous consent to amend the bill to allow architects to advertise.
Objection, I'm sorry.
Question.
Clerk will call the roll.
Objection, I have a bill. Helen Coleman, 69.
Alcoin.
Alcoin.
Aye.
Cole. Dinsmore.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye.
Engel.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson.
No.
Patterson.
No.
Bassett.
Aye.
Stoltz.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
It's ordered, Representative Howard. Senate Bill. Patterson. Senate Bill 560. Senate Bill 560 is a bill introduced in the Senate to require water systems in this state to submit changes in their system to plan, make them submit drawings and engineered projects, which include submission of drawings, design, and so forth, criteria, to the State Board of Health prior to going ahead with the projects. Now, there's a bill in the Senate, a Senate bill in the House Judiciary that recently passed, which outlines, and Gordon, you might be able to speak to this, exactly what engineers have to do and not have to do as far as submission of plans and their work. Z.
Senate Bill 44. To any of you judiciary,
can't say that I'm very familiar with it. Maybe George.
All right, let me point out the objection originally to this bill, and then we had an objection from an individual from Brookings, Oregon, that every time they extended a line from the water main up to a guy's house, they'd have to submit engineering data. That is not covered by the engineering code or criterion. That's not necessary. What they're trying, it turns out, according to the Department of Health, that individual probably has had more complaints against than anybody else in the state. And I don't doubt he's objecting. This is simply an attempt to improve the engineering on water systems in the state, and especially the private owned water systems, which of course have become fewer and fewer.
Mr. Chairman, could you hold on voting on this for just about 1 second to check so you've got conflicts with you.
I've got a conflict notice here. What do you want to know?
Well, you directed the conflict. What is the conflict with?
1226, 3028, 1060. Hmm. That's a
bad bill.
1037, 1572, 1892, 1226, 99, 306.
Probably
682.
No?
No.
Shouldn't we be preparing conflict amendments?
Sure. Unanimous consent to take my name off.
Can't do that, Bob. Sorry.
These conflict amendments were dated March 15th, prior to passage of the Senate.
You're at 431, 449, and 431 and 449.
Senate amended it twice.
I don't see any problem with the number. Check it.
Well, why don't we do this? If the bill is going to be passed in this committee, I will ask legislative council to prepare whatever necessary amendments there are to synchronize it with previously passed legislation. Throw me that calendar.
43130.
Yeah, just 1060, 1226, Senate Bill 99, Senate Bill 206, Senate Bill 560. under that statute, now there's another one.
What's the last one?
449, the last one. It's 220 is the first one, 990, and jump over.
Senate Bill.
Well, let's vote on it.
What's the last one? 449? Well, hell, it's all.
I think you better check the conflicts, because it does conflict with 1064.
Where's 1060?
1060 is passed by both houses. That's the Department of Health.
Well, that, Roger, that's simple. I had conflicts on both those bills this morning, and I went to Kathleen Buffay. She got me amendments to take care of the conflicts if the bill's passed, and they were right in with the bill.
My only suggestion was going to be that, we pass the bill subject to getting amendments prepared to take the conflicts out.
I shall move.
Wait a second. What is this, not knowing what those changes may be?
Changes would say would be.
They would read the 1060.
Style and form changes to keep it from conflicting with 1060 or from reading the 1060. There would not be any kind of a substantive change with the present.
I don't see how that could be. They're conflicting in some way.
Well, that's what makes the conflicts.
I don't think we're talking about punctuation. Go ahead and vote that out.
All right.
I'm going to vote no myself.
Voting on passage of gross Senate Bill 560, subject to amendment to conform it to previously passed legislation. Clerk, call the roll.
Mr. Chairman, why don't you get the amendments and then vote on the bill?
Well, let me find out, before we go through all this, is there going to be objection to the bill? If we've got eight people voting against the bill, I don't want to bother legislative council. Clerk, call the roll.
Taking the vote.
Alcorn.
No.
Cole. Dansmore.
No.
Howard.
No.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson.
Aye.
Patterson.
No.
Dash.
No.
Dole.
No.
Martin.
Motion fails. 656.
Oh, I want to.
Any power possible reconsideration of the 1062? You did. Somebody. All right, now you do.
I'll give no spot for reconsideration on 560. It failed, didn't it?
Failed.
Yes, failed.
We failed. 560 failed, didn't it?
Yeah.
I can't give notice.
No, you didn't.
Somehow I had to vote it on the wrong side, give notice on that.
I'll give notice to possible reconsideration.
I think this basically is good.
Senate Bill 560?
You're going to check on the conflict.
I do, yeah.
Oh, I wanted to know what would be removed.
Martin was just trying to find out if.
I was trying to find out.
Favor the bill. I think the bill will pass if you show these people what the conflicts are and how we're going to resolve them.
What the need for the bill is.
Senate Bill 656, Representative Howard.
First, on page 2, line 15. Delete the 4 and insert the 2. That's a mistake in printing, not. It's a. You don't need any. Delete the 4 and insert 2. Have at least 2 year experience as a welder and machine operator under ORS 537, or as any employee of well drilling machine license ORS, with at least 2 years experience as a licensed well drilling machine operator. To become a. That's a licensing bill for well drillers. Senator Groner testified for it. the state engineer testified for it, and two well drillers from the
Well Drillers Association. One of them's Lane County.
One Lane County.
I'm broken down all well driller from Lane County. And one of Quackenbush.
Named Brownie.
Brownie. Sells popcorn in the summer, drills wells in the winter.
It was passed on to the subcommittee with the Duke Bass recommendation.
All right.
I would move.
Representative Howard moves Senate Bill 656 to the floor of the Duke Bass recommendation. Now, let me explain to you that amendment that he talked about on page 2, line 15, is a printing error. It's not an amendment. That should read 2 and not 4 errors. It was in the Senate amendments. And for some reason, didn't get in.
Mr. Howard, yield to a question?
He'd love to.
Howard, could you explain the reason for increasing the fines for violation of subsection 1 of ORS 537-535 from $50 to $250? $250 to $1,150?
Yes, they said that they weren't, the fines weren't having any effect and they wanted to put the teeth in.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask unanimous consent to amend page 2, line 14, where it says, is of good moral character to add and does not use abusive language.
Mr. Chairman,
I object. Who's going to judge on the good moral character?
I objected to the moral character.
Goal?
Mr. Howard, put this in with a therapist. Mr. Howard, the licensee has doesn't have this experience himself, but has an employee who has the experience. He applies for his license. How long does he have to keep that guy on the payroll?
Two years.
You have to keep him on there the whole time? What's the 2 years? It's just 2 years of experience.
Then he takes an exam.
Then he gets the license.
Well, I understood, if you have someone on your payroll who has the experience, you can get the license at the time you apply for the license.
That's right.
You fire him the next day.
He has to study the ground.
No, but if you fire the employee, Norm, after you get your license, you have to turn in your license.
Yeah, sure. You can't drill unless you got that gun.
Where does it say that?
I don't know where it says that.
That's what they said.
That is the testimony.
There are some other statutes that cover this, and there are licenses for the well to drill, a well drilling machine operator.
The state engineer said it was a needed bill and met all the requirements.
Mr. Chairman, can I
had a unanimous consent request to delete line 15 through 18 on page 2 and put in it must require a BA degree.
Recognized.
He has an MA degree. He charges a dollar a foot more. He has a PhD, $2 a foot more, but I object to him.
What effect does this have on water witches?
Mr. Chairman. Representative Howard, did the engineer say how many people that he is fined, the maximum fine under the old fine schedule?
No.
Because if he didn't find it was adequate, I wonder how many people that he's fined.
Well, we didn't go into that at all.
You didn't go into that at all?
No.
I'm sure that he didn't.
Another question that
the judge has been bad enough himself.
I'm unable to find 537.535 for which the fines can be levied for violation of. I was just wondering if you could tell me what that section deals with.
I'll ask the legal beagle.
Mr. Chairman, while they're looking, I would ask unanimous consent on page 3, line 9 to delete 2 years and insert 4,080 hours for the performance of the cosmetic therapy.
Model
it, please. Object.
Really, fellas.
I'm concerned.
The Senate's having a hell of a time, but listen.
I know, and I don't want the chair, the sponsor of this bill, to think I'm playing games with this legislation.
I move the room be cleared of all except legislators and lobbyists and governor's assistants. I don't want the public to see this display.
Say there's no public back there. One guy with a pipe back there, I haven't seen him before.
Anybody interested in knowing what they could be fined for?
Yes.
No person or public agency shall use or attempt to use any groundwater, construct or attempt to construct any well or other means of developing and securing groundwater, or operate or permit the operation of any well owned or controlled by such person or public agency except upon compliance with 537505 to 537795, and any applicable order, rule, or regulation promulgated by the state engineer under ORS 505 to 537795. And subsection 2, except for those uses exempted under 545, the use of groundwater for any purpose without a permit issued under 625 or registration under 605 is an unlawful appropriation of groundwater. So, it's a matter of getting permits and following statute.
All right.
Appropriation of groundwater. If it failed to do that,
oh, one other
they
thing.
Can be fine.
But the state engineer said that the pollution of groundwater is becoming a real problem, and this bill would help to control it. Once it starts to pollute, it goes all over a valley. They want it.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask Jose Howard a question? What provision in this bill has anything to do with this problem?
The engineer can control the licensed well driller so that they have to...
They're licensed now, existing law. This doesn't change that.
But a lot of people are drilling wells without... We passed another bill that's already gone through that you cannot drill a well without a license, even on your own property. And we passed that the other day with only 5 votes against it.
Well, this bill has nothing to do with the problem that the state engineer has presented.
Well, it goes right along with the bill that's already up there that we passed. You can't drill a well without a license.
That's existing law. This bill doesn't change that.
Representative Anderson.
We just passed that.
Move the table.
Representative Anderson moves that Senate Bill 656 be tabled. Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Cole.
How do you vote on table?
Aye.
Howard.
No.
Engel.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Stafford.
Aye.
Stoll.
No.
Martin.
No.
So ordered. Table. Senate Bill 665. No, I'm sorry. 658.
Representative Jansmore. 658 is a bill which would apply the 1-6% limitation to the administrative and resolution.
Go talk it to death.
Move it to the floor with the new pastor.
Representative Dansmore moves Senate Bill 6.
Can I ask a question?
Well, let me state the motion. Representative Dansmore moves Senate Bill 658 to the floor with the new pastor recommendation. Now, it puts a 6% limitation on the administrative resolutions budgets of IEDs.
There's also some amendments.
The amendments are here.
I don't have the amendments.
You want some amendments?
More amendments? Well, I like the bill the way it is. I don't want amendments.
come from up there?
These amendments make it single-member sub-districts for IAD members.
Whose amendments are these?
Cindy Densmore's.
Have they already been adopted?
They adopted the amendments.
They've already been adopted. Representative Densmore has moved amended Senate Bill 658 be sent forward with a new pass recommendation. Further discussion?
Question. Mr. Densmore.
Say a question, ask it, and have him read the roll.
I have a question. There's presently a 6% limitation on
the overall.
The overall budget, which includes this budget.
I have to check.
So we are imposing an additional
6% on the administrative resolutions part. The experience has been that these administrative and resolution part of the budgets have been growing. When the budget has been presented beyond 6% and has been defeated, they've gone back to 6%, and they have not decreased the administrative and resolutions part of the budget, but rather have decreased the equalization. There's some concern in that field.
May I ask a question? Representative Densmore. If we pass this, isn't it going to create some problems as far as the budgets of the schools within the IED are concerned? Not being able to anticipate what they will receive from the IED.
Equalization?
Pardon?
The equalization?
No, I mean in services.
Services? Mm-hmm. Well, no, it just says that if the IED wants to go beyond the 6% increase over what they've done the year before in this particular area, then they have to justify it to the people.
No, but won't there be a delay which will create some problems as far as
the
local
more than on the ordinary election on it.
Right. The act shall go into effect in July 1972, so it does not affect this biennium or this fiscal year. It affects the fiscal year the following.
Mr. Chairman, I think this is an excellent bill. Too often when the budget, IED budgets are defeated, they take it out of the kids' budget, not out of the administration budget. I've known some budgets to increase over 100% just in 2 years' time.
Mr. Chairman, in order to appears to be a shocking statement, but I think you have to evaluate what's caused that increase in the administrative budget. I don't know anything about Benton County, but I do know something about what the IED is doing in Lane County. My judgment, their increases have been totally justified and have in the long run saved considerable tax dollars because of their activity.
Mr. Chairman, when you stop and think that since the IED started doing some of these speech impediment programs and hearing programs and teaching the blind, out at the deaf school out here, the population has been going down. At the blind school, the population has been going down. Kids that have had speech impediments haven't had to go to Eugene, Salem, Portland to get teachers. And when you put these programs in, they're going to cost money. Or we're going to have them up here and be paying for them at the state school. And one place where they put in two classrooms for speech impediment and deaf, the budget did go up. And rightly should it has to go up to put these programs in. The mentally retarded programs are in these things. And without a way to pass these budgets, you're not going to have these programs in your cities. The people don't sympathize with the people that have retarded children. They get together and they work on it, but the general average public, when they're looking at that almighty tax dollar when they go to the poll. Every place that these IEDs have gone up, they have started for crippled children, for blind children, for deaf students, speech impediment, mentally retarded, and they're able to sell the program under this program. I think that you're just asking for a backward step when it comes to taking care of these problems.
No reason why, if the voters are allowed to vote on regular school budgets, that they shouldn't vote on all the budget here in the IED. There's nothing that should be sacrosanct and protected from the voters' approval or disapproval.
Well, then we'll have more bigger institutions in the state.
More more bigger.
Less better.
More bigger and less better. All right, questions called for, clerk call the roll on passage of amended Senate Bill 658.
Damn good bill.
Anderson.
Mr. Rocco.
Yes, Bob.
Yes.
Aye.
Osborne.
Aye.
Cole.
No.
Dinsmore.
Aye.
Howard.
No.
Engel.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
McPherson.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Gadsden.
No.
Stoltz.
No.
I changed my vote to no.
That's a good bill.
Stoltz.
No. How did McPherson vote?
He didn't vote, he didn't.
I wanted to say if we had that one recorded.
Gordon.
Who was mine or yours?
Gordon. Gordon, how do you vote on the IEDA 6% limitation?
No amendments? Yeah, that's.
The amendment we put on. Aye.
Thank you.
Martin votes aye. 8-5. Motion carries, bill's passed. Representative.
Can we leave?
Dinsmore.
I already reported on that.
Doesn't pass, I'm gonna put in a double, put in 36 school district next time.
Put in 35 to stay out of that county.
Senate Bill 665. Senate Bill 665 is a bill that does a simple thing, it changes the requirement that the head of the state highway department, the administrative head, has to be an engineer. It says that he may be an administrator, so that when, supposedly probably the present highway engineer, Mr. Porter, retires within a year, he could be replaced with a man other than an engineer, could be replaced by an administrator. It also allows the state highway department or division to have one or more deputy.
Makes you a administrator, not an engineer.
Deputy assistant engineers who are to be engineers. I move that Senate Bill 665 be sent before the pass recommendation.
I move that Senate Bill 665 be tabled.
Where'd you find it?
I don't have 665.
No, except from Sanders and BJ3.
Don't do that, still after the vote.
Representative Anderson moves that Senate Bill 665 be tabled. Clerk call the roll.
Norm, you got a position on this?
I didn't make a motion to table it.
Particular knowledge.
I voted for it.
Most of the money that I spent.
Point of order.
On non-judge.
Anderson made a motion.
Clerk call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Osborne.
No.
Cole.
Aye.
Dinsmore.
Aye.
Howard.
Nope.
Engel.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
McPherson.
Prosecutor. Tabling.
Fire marshal one.
Just tabling.
Probably the other one.
Okay.
665.
Patterson.
Aye.
Gadsden.
No.
Stoltz.
No.
Martin.
No.
No.
All right, motion for passage of Senate Bill 665 now, we can debate this. I've taken some time to ask the kind of people that I expect would be opposed to this if this was a move by someone to do something to someone. And everyone I've talked to is in favor of this, including Mr. Jackson, the chairman of the Highway Commission, and all the people in government I've talked to. I am sure behind the scenes there are some individuals in the Department of the Highway Commission who are opposed to it. They're engineers and they see Mr. Porter's job as one that they might hold in a year or two, and I don't blame them for wanting to pull the competition down to engineers. But I think it's an intelligent move. I'd like to make all school district superintendents in a similar situation, but I guess we can't do that.
Mr. Chairman.
There's an old saying in public administration, Mr. Chairman, that experts should have a cover on top.
Can I ask a question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I noticed on page 3, we require the administrator for up to $200,000 bond. Now, is this keeping from walking off of the highways in the state?
That's existing language.
Question.
Question called for. Clerk call the roll on passage.
This is the one.
you get my bill out, Jay.
Osbourne.
Aye.
665.
Gold.
Aye.
Vanderhorn.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye.
Engel.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Stathis.
Aye.
Stoltz.
Aye.
Mark.
Aye. So ordered. Senate Bill 722, Representative Annan's.
Me.
That be referred to.
Oh, wait a minute.
But I will tell you, though, that we did the right thing on 722.
We want to defer it. It's got a subsequent referral of Ways and Means.
They're not meeting.
They're not meeting. In case you're interested.
They will meet.
It violates the Constitution, which is written right now.
Yeah.
I've got that fixed.
Article 11, Section 7.
Got that fixed.
Well, let's defer it. We're going to defer it to 27.
Mr. Chairman?
We passed this one.
Chairman?
We don't do that.
Check this out.
But it hasn't passed.
No, reconsider the vote.
Did we reconsider the vote?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, we did.
All right, Senate Bill 202, Representative Dancy.
Senate Bill 2, briefly stated.
Too briefly, 02.
Makes students responsible for educational loans that they assume does not hold their parents' lives. Move to the floor with the due pattern. Don't beat it to death.
Representative Dancy moves Senate Bill 202 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Can I ask Representative Dancy a question? Representative Dancy, if the parent isn't going to be responsible, will the student be as likely to get a loan under by this? I haven't studied it, but usually whoever's loaning money is not inclined to lend money unless to a minor, you know, unless the parent is responsible.
You're entirely right.
Well, it's going to make the young person responsible, but have a couple of effects. Could probably make the young person more inclined to be responsible for his loan, and it might make the person lending money be a little more careful.
Do we have any testimony?
Well, what the effect would be, a student not getting a loan, or is likely to get a loan.
We had no testimony at that.
Al, wouldn't, if this bill were passed, and there probably would be some lending institutions or whoever is going to loan the money would require a co-signer. And then the parent would be liable, but with his full knowledge and also of the loaning institution.
Right now, they require a co-signer.
Well, would this eliminate then if a co-signer would sign for a minor?
For all practical purposes.
No, do you have any testimony on how many people, or how many cases we had of default last year, 2 years?
We didn't have any testimony because the thing was up for hearing 3 times and no one ever shown up.
Mr. Chairman, maybe the representative from Jackson County can fill me in, but how can a minor draw a contract?
Well, under provision of House Bill 1162.
That is not passed yet.
Well, he can draw a contract with Jackson County minor. Can I answer your question?
I would be thrilled to volunteer.
Legal aid.
I think a minor can draw, enter into any contract, but if he decides to assert a defense when he's sued in a contract, if he's a minor, he has that defense available to him.
Well, that's my point.
But this takes away that defense. A minor can sue to enforce a contract, and he can be sued to enforce a contract if he accepts it to the point that he asserts the defense of minority.
Well, now, this...
And this bill would be constitutional.
Why not?
This apply to all cases under contracts?
No.
Just education?
Education.
Or gallery, let's do something important.
For the discussion.
Well, I got one other question. Why is this needed?
Well, I think the whole thrust of this legislature should or is not to make young people, particularly over 18, responsible for their actions.
Well, you've got other bills doing that.
I call for a question.
Clerk, call roll.
Anderson.
Passage.
No.
Alcorn.
No.
Cole.
No.
Howard. Engel.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Harrison.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Stafford.
No.
Stone.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye. Sword.
Well, you didn't break that one, guys.
You almost talked it to death.
Senate Bill 234, Agricultural Minimum Wage.
234?
Senate Bill. Representative Madison moves Senate Bill 234 be returned to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs.
It establishes a base wage that's higher than the base wage for everything else in the world. And that is one point, and I can't really see the point of that now that I've looked at it since our subcommittee hearing. And the other thing is that I'm in agriculture still trying to find out who applies to it, because they exempt piecework and almost everything else. They exempt cattle operations, or as I assume it will be all animal type operations. I'd like to catch some of our agricultural people by tomorrow morning and whenever we're going to meet and find out who it does affect and where. Almost everything done in the Willamette Valley is piecework. But my specific reason would be to amend that last section 472 out, so this would then comply with the state minimum wage, which is in section 471. I don't see any reason to have any difference.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Buckhorn?
Would it be in order for me to ask if the testimony in the subcommittee or on that point at all?
No, we had two witnesses on this bill. One was Senator Hartung in favor of, and the other was representing the Oregon Council on Churches. Neither of them testified to the
testimony really wasn't adequate.
What was the vote on this subcommittee?
5-0.
I think I voted to get it out, and I subsequently looked at it.
Minimum wage.
Began to wonder.
How long have you had it in the subcommittee?
I heard it this morning.
2 days.
I think it's the ball game if we send it back.
Chairman, I'd oppose the motion.
I wouldn't hold it out of the
hearing. Will you just amend it out then?
There's no time.
What? All right. What do you want to take out?
you have to take out a few words in section 4, sub 1 that relate to sub 2, and then delete sub 2, which would bring agricultural under the minimum wage for everything else in the state, which is $1.40. This establishes $1.30 for one particular industry. As far as I can tell, again, they're everything in agriculture. But that's my main reason, is to have a standard wage.
Let me ask them, do we have any reason to believe that the state minimum wage of $1.25 is charged anywhere, is paid anywhere in the state now?
I have no idea. I think that's non secretary.
The minimum wage is $1.45?
$1.25. I think it goes out next year, probably.
We ask that. Federal minimum wage covers practically all employees in the state now, I think.
I'd make a motion on that, leave it alone.
Representative Anderson moves that the rules be suspended and that we change in section 4 the minimum wage to $1.25.
Or you can just drop that sub 2 and those new words in sub 1. $1.25 to apply.
There are two different motions, though, aren't there, Mr. Chairman? You can't make both of those part of the same motion.
That's right. So I think, all right, we'll just move to suspend the rules to amend the bill. Representative Stathos?
Yes.
Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Alcorn.
Aye.
Cole.
Aye.
Danforth.
Aye.
Howard.
No.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson.
This is the lower minimum wage.
Suspend the rules.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Stafford.
Aye.
Bill.
Aye.
Martin.
No. All right, rules are suspended. Now, Representative Anderson moves that section four be amended, and we're going to have to get the written amendments, and let's let council prepare them. Conform this bill to make it $1.25 an hour instead of $1.30 an hour as minimum wage for agriculture.
All you have to do is delete the new language on page four, line 11, and delete line 16 through 20, and renumber that. That's still the section five.
Okay.
I only have one question. In sub two, we're talking about individuals 17 years of age or older, and the section above 18 years of age or older. And that leads me to believe there must be some specific reason that they went at it in this fashion. I wonder why.
Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to vote for the amendment, providing that the legislative council, as Mr. Martin suggested, writes the proper amendment to accomplish what we're supposed to do.
How does that change that thought?
You may want to read.
We'll just suspend the rules. You got us there.
Where are you getting all these bills, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, but now that they're not in action, it's kind of slowed down a little.
653.
Why can't we just have him draw the amendment? What do we have to sit here and do this?
We don't.
Aren't you?
Well, let's don't do it then.
Let's do it tomorrow.
Let's do it. You can do it. We'll go on and you can get the amendment prepared.
I would move the amendments be prepared to.
We can do it next Monday.
Agriculture and the minimum wage. $1.25 an hour and prepared and ready by legislative council.
You aren't going to place a clock in there?
Clerk, call the roll on adoption of amendments necessary to make it conform with the state minimum wage of $1.25 an hour.
Anderson. Alcorn.
No.
Cole.
Aye.
Danforth.
No.
Howard.
No.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Stafford.
No.
Bill.
Aye.
Martin.
No.
Representative Kennedy moves amended Senate Bill 234 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And we'll have the amendments prepared to accomplish just what we were talking about. Ready to vote? Clerk, call the roll.
Alcorn.
Aye.
Cole.
Aye.
Danforth.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Stafford.
No.
Bill.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye. So ordered. Representative Anderson, you're not going to carry that.
Let's go on.
You want to carry? Anderson will carry. Senate Bill 552.
Senate Bill 552 allows persons 18 years or older to be precinct committeemen, committee women, be delegates to the National Convention. I think it's a reasonable clarification of of Supreme Court decisions, whether or not they should be able to vote for those offices and be able to run their holdings.
Representative Densmore moves Senate Bill 552 be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Yeah, I'm not sure that this is legal.
Thank you.
Don't have the bill.
This would be a tentative to allow them to vote in the state
elections.
Not to vote for it.
Well,
are they
maybe elected too?
What?
They may be elected too. They may vote for and may be elected to the office of national committeeman, national committee woman, delegate to the party national convention.
Question?
So both parties, I think it's fair to say.
Can we have something like this in Washington?
We did, now see if
we
Secretary of State bill people.
We're going to get an instant AG opinion. All individuals.
Yes, it does.
No, it does not.
No.
I don't have to go through my fear.
It doesn't include the precinct man.
No, just national committee man, national committee.
Necessary because you got a lot of voters. That was our opinion.
The Attorney General moves that Senate Bill 552 be tabled. We can't make a collection.
Aye.
Do we need the bill?
Yeah, I think you do. The Secretary of State has clear authority to register.
All right. Representative Densmore has made the motion. We'll vote on passage of Senate Bill 552.
This is strictly, Mr. Chairman, we don't have the bills.
It's strictly National Committee man, National Committee woman.
It's not there.
And delegate to the National Convention.
Nothing to do with state.
Nothing to do with state. Clerk, call the roll.
Anything?
I don't think we did.
550.
Aye.
Anybody have a copy of the bill?
Aye. Densmore.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye.
Engel.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson.
Aye.
Patterson. Stafford.
No.
Phil.
Aye.
Martin.
And I want Stathos to explain his vote.
Yes, I'll explain my vote. It does have something to do with the state in this respect, that the National Committee men and National Committee women, I think in both state central committees, have a vote and could have something to do with state policy. National Committee men and the National Committee women in the Republican State Central Committee are granted the vote.
That's beautiful.
Okay.
Glad to hear that.
Okay, Spin.
That's at the National Convention. Besides, they're automatic delegates to the National
State.
Convention.
I'm talking about state, state organization.
Senate Bill.
That's all right.
President of the Young Democrats.
575, okay. Representative Stoltz.
But don't say they don't have, because they do.
Senate Bill 575.
575.
You lied to Ingalls. Somebody lied to Ingalls.
Creates an exemption from inheritance taxation on the value of any leasehold or other interest or estate less than a fee simple estate in real property held or occupied by the decedent and passing by reason of death if property is owned by the United States or any department or agency thereof, or if it was held or occupied by the decedent primarily for the purpose of raising livestock.
Now what did you say?
It's not taxable. It's not taxable from an inheritance tax standpoint. Any estate a decedent may own, less than a fee simple estate. That's, in other words, a lease from Bureau of Land Management for grazing rights is the classic example of what would not be subject to inheritance taxation. The reason advanced for the bill is the extreme difficulty in assessing any valuation. These things, they're revocable at will by the agencies which make the leases. And it's created some problems in the area of determination of inheritance tax. Sterling Eastern Oregon Bill.
All right, Representative Stoltz moves Senate Bill 575 to be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation to discussion. Clerk will call roll.
Anderson. Ockheim.
Aye.
Cole.
Aye.
Dinsmore.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye.
Engel.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
McPherson.
Aye.
Good bill.
Patterson.
Aye.
Bassett.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Anderson votes aye, and Kennedy voted no.
Mr. Chairman, I give notice of possible reconsideration of Senate Bill 575, having voted on prevailing side.
Senate Bill 622 is a special interest bill brought to us by the representative from Benton County. And I'll let him explain
where it. Is it? Where is it?
What's the number?
622.
Oh, I got a big word.
This is BJ.
Want to carry it, Bob?
Yeah, I'll carry it.
It's a giant pumpkin to Oklahoma.
Mine, let's.
Not at all.
We're going to get a new driver's license.
I don't have a copy of it.
I'll move to stay with the bill.
This is Eugene.
Deputy Terry.
Mr. Chairman, other distinguished members of the committee.
672.
This bill catches up for a mistake that, or not a mistake we made in 69, it catches up for a mistaken Attorney General's opinion. People who stay in public office after the age 65 are compelled to contribute to the retirement fund, but they don't get any additional benefits out of it, the way the present law reads, or the way the present law is interpreted. And all this does is make up for that inequity. If they put more in, they ought to be able to get more out. And this just makes up for that. No, this involves state employees and higher education employees, everybody on the public trial.
All right, Representative Engels moves Senate Bill 622 be sent to the floor of the due pass recommendation discussion. Clerk call roll.
No, this isn't tricky.
Call the turkey and we'll roll.
The $200,000 turkey.
Turkey in the straw.
No, this is a good bill.
Ockheim.
Aye.
Cole. Dinsmore.
Aye.
Howard.
No.
Engel.
PERB gets a hold of you.
Johnson.
No.
PRS.
No.
PTE.
McPherson.
Aye.
Aye.
I don't know. Was this come out of there?
Yeah, I was going to say that put 622 onto the table.
Lloyd.
Johnson's vote. All right. Senate Bill 622 is passed, and Representative Engels will carry it. I think we have one bill left. Should we carry that over tomorrow morning, or should we?
I'd like to defer that to Thursday and replace the top of our committee calendar.
All right, Senate Bill 715, Representative Stoltz.
Senate Bill 715 requires that health insurance insurers be required to pay state or municipal, as amended, as state hospitals are. Hospitals and political subdivisions for the any covered service which is provided there.
Mm-hmm.
ought to do that recommendation.
Representative Kennedy moves Senate Bill 715 in gross to the full committee with a due pass recommendation, to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Do we get an explanation?
If you want one, yeah, you can get an explanation.
What recommendation did it come up with?
As amended. Came out with no recommendation.
I'm gonna have to give any amendments.
It amounts, it represents about $500,000 biennium to the state. As near as they were able to get a handle on it. The amendment which has been adopted, which includes political subdivisions, hospitals owned by political subdivisions, speaks primarily to the Multnomah County Hospital now, which is in real financial problems. There are other county hospitals in Curry, Wallowa, Josephine, Morrow, Tillamook, and Harney counties, which would benefit from passage of this bill.
How do they benefit?
They benefit by receiving payment from the insurance companies for people that they treat.
I got a, Ted's lobbying me here while Stoltz is talking.
Table that.
As a lobbyist.
Alright.
Is that man registered?
Many, see, many policies, health insurance policies provide no payment in case they're in a government hospital.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. This will make this illegal.
It'll require them, if they're covered in a private hospital, they also have to be covered in a government hospital.
And may increase the premiums.
Possibly.
Everyone else.
We don't know.
Covered.
That'll benefit the state financially considerably too.
$500,000 in the biennium is estimated.
Aye. Representative Kennedy has made the motion to send amended in gross Senate Bill 715 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Clerk call the roll.
Everybody.
I vote aye.
Aye. Well, Anderson's, we're still
trying to hear the testimony.
Vote, will you?
No.
Alcorn.
No.
Cole.
Aye.
That's a good bill.
Danforth. Howard.
No.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
McPherson.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Bass.
No.
Stoltz.
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Stoltz, carry the bill.
Bills for you, get to committee.
Now, the Subcommittee on State and Federal Affairs will meet at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and no subsequent action for the whole committee until I call a meeting to present. We have cleared up almost all the bills that are left. We have one couple of tax farm deferral bills for one explanation.
How about the child labor?
9 o'clock.
Stay adjourned.
Hey, guys. 8:30, and what do you want to do?
Which? That's a pass. I have to get the amendments, 234.